We start the week with what's on your mind. How do we know? Well, we keep a close eye on what people are clicking and reading at federalnewsradio.com. Reporter Emily Kopp has more.
A lot of the things, the stories that we did, the commentaries by Mike Causey and by outside experts centered around retirement money and whether or not retirees have enough and federal employees are going to have enough that day that they decide to leave work and hopefully retire if
that
day
ever comes. So they have the same worries as everybody else.
Yes, exactly. Except that we at Federal News Radio are writing about them on our website. That's the difference. There are a couple of different things, of course, that impact federal retirees that don't impact the rest of us that we've been writing about this week. One is that we know that there's not going to be any cost of living adjustment come January because inflation is pretty much level. And so that's been a topic of concern for retirees. It means that they're not going to get an automatic bump in their retirement benefits. Mike Causey, again, has been writing about this. And what's interesting to me about this debate is that it underscores a fission between current federal employees and retirees. And in response to one of Causey's columns, Retirees in the Hole, COLA-wise, someone who calls himself Jay Richards wrote, "While I understand retirees' frustration, federal retirees actually have a higher COLA over the last 6 years than non-retired federal workers," meaning current employees. "Under Obama, we had 3 years of flat zero COLA, technically across the board increase, no pay raises," my interpretation. "Then we received a generous increase of 1% each for 2014 and 2015. For 2016, we will have a potential landslide increase of 1.3%. And he goes on a bit, but he says, you know, "My agency actually saw a number of people retire because of this flat or barely moving needle in terms of their pay. They thought that perhaps being retired, they could take a few months off and come back as reemployed annuitants and take money from both pots." So that's something that you're seeing, this division between retirees, some under the CSRS, and current employees who are looking at their benefits and their pay and seeing, well, you know what, you might still be doing better, current retiree, than I will be when I get to be your age.
All right, so a bread and butter issue, and I guess people are also worried, according to what the web stats show, about this idea of the G fund being raided, to pay for the government if the debt ceiling is reached, despite the protestations of the Treasury Secretary Jack Lew. That got a lot of attention also.
Yes, absolutely. And this is something, it's not just Jack Lew. I mean, Treasury has done this before. This is kind of protocol, right? Should it not be able to have enough money to pay its current debts, it suspends investments in the G fund. But their interest is still building. And so that day that it resumes, it pays all of that back. And that's something that Scott Massioni wrote about on our website. He presented the news, the G fund investments will stop October 30th. Without a debt ceiling deal. And we know that Congress is, in fact, working on a debt ceiling deal. But we had some interesting comments on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Federal News Radio. Daphne Wagner writes, "Congress's pay should be withheld until they do their dang jobs." And John Duff wants to know, where is the NTEU?
Well, they are a lonely wolf crying all the time about everything affecting federal pay and benefits. And I guess there's a theme here about retirees. Jory Heckman wrote a story about Senator Lankford, whose bill would give fraud protection to federal retirees.
Yeah, that's kind of a interesting, and I wonder if it would do anything type of legislation, but something that has passed the Senate, the Representative Payee Fraud Prevention Act of 2015, basically says that those who accept retirement benefits from OPM on behalf of others, they have to abide by any sort of laws that you would expect anti-fraud laws to be. They have to say who they are. They have to do good by the money, meaning that they pass it on to that beneficiary. And Lankford's argument for this bill is that there was actually nothing clear about this particular issue. So it seems like something that, hey, can't do any harm, could protect you, but you know, one person wrote as a comment, "Chicago Man RA," that's what they call themselves on our website, that this is just anti-fraud legislation, which sounds about as effective as the do not call list. This is just lip service, no money devoted to enforcement, so the taxpayer doesn't have to worry. I think they have a point there.
Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp. And besides retirement, people were thinking about other things connected to getting to work. In that case, the ID card rule. could keep you from work, even if you wanted to not retire.
Right. Well, actually, this is more for visitors. But this was a story, again, that we saw a significant amount of comments and concern on our website. The story was DHS ID card rule could bar some visitors from federal buildings. Again, by Scott Massioni. Now, this was a story that he wrote a couple of weeks ago, but at last check, still getting quite some buzz on our website, because what it means is that we've heard about this for years, this Real ID card that has been the subject of controversy in many states because of what it would do in terms of access to the voting polls.
Right.
Well, finally, the government is saying starting this month, visitors to buildings have to show ID cards from these states that have adopted the Real ID standards. And in Scott's story, he says there are just four states that don't fall into that category. They haven't received extensions from the federal government, or they're not in compliance. Those states are New York, of course, a lot of people there, Minnesota, Louisiana, and I guess not technically a state, but American Samoa, of course, part of the United States. So people who have IDs, say driver's licenses from these states, aren't supposed to be admitted to federal buildings with those licenses. They can use passports or something else from the federal government, but you know that most common piece of identification isn't supposed to work. There's lead time before this is actually enforced, but this was something that was supposed to happen this month.
But the whole banning of people that don't have Real ID compliant cards then is based in legislation, so only Congress can probably fix it at this point, correct?
It's based in legislation. Not only that, this has been going on. I mean, this stemmed out of 9/11. So it's been going on for more than 10 years. Now, this only applies to that. This is basically saying that if you come from one of these states, you're not supposed to be able to use that state-issued ID. But you don't need a card that complies with the Real ID standards until 2020. So it's a very slow phasing in. But I think Scott's story made people stand up and think, oh, my gosh, this is actually happening. And maybe people from these jurisdictions are going to have some problems. Again, they can use passports and the like, but if they tried to use a state ID.
But when you think about it, suppose you were somewhere in upstate New York and you wanted to go into a Social Security office. I mean, technically, it may be a storefront that doesn't even have any kind of guard or anything, or a VA facility. But when you think about it, the potential is that a veteran with a New York State driver's license could not get into a VA hospital because that's a federal building.
Absolutely. I mean, there are, again, other types of ID. I personally question what sort of effect this is going to have if there aren't enough workarounds. But they say approximately 70 to 80% of U.S. drivers hold licenses from states that either meet the requirements or have received extensions. This is from DHS. But that means that 20 to 30% of drivers do not. Right. So you have to ask, OK, so what's going to happen to that 20 to 30%?
It'll all change when Chuck Schumer can't get into the Congress one day.
Exactly right. You have to wonder about New York. They've got a lot of people, a lot of political power there. And one of the states that DHS is signaling out for not being in compliance.